This is my daddy's station. I'm Pooh, classic radio like you always wished it could be. 101.1 FM, Eager.
101.1 FM is owned and operated by the Independence Foundation Trust as a non-profit community service.
This is the Voice of Freedom. Listening to the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Ladies and gentlemen, today we're going to have a metal report when Gene phones in at about 5 minutes after the hour. Until then, let me tell you how you can help the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network expand its programming schedule. We've had to already cut back and stop the music that we have been broadcasting in the evening, simply because no affiliate station that we can find is carrying the music, and therefore it is a waste of time to spend the money to put it up on the satellite. We are expanding our programming. I'm sure that many of you heard the Johnny Ray and Lonesome Bob's very fine radio show last Saturday. It was really good. Those two guys are really funny, and they have a tremendous history in music in Nashville, in both the production end and the and as artists. And you heard some of their productions and their music and their singing, and you heard some of the songs of the greatest from country and western from Nashville, and you also heard some recordings made by artists that that you've never heard before and probably would never have heard except for that broadcast. And they were magnificent. Why is it that you don't hear these recordings? Well, folks, it's because, like everything else, the music business has its levels of corruption. Unless you have the money to pay people off, you just don't get songs aired or played, and they certainly don't even get a chance at the charts. And if that happens, then, you know, you just shuffle off into obscurity. And they talked a little bit about that, and I'm sure they'll talk about it some more this coming Saturday. But one way you can help is to patronize Southwest International Trading for your precious metals needs, no matter, you know, what you need or what you think you need or what you'd like to explore. They'll help you get whatever it is at the lowest possible price. The number is 1-800-295-2432. That's 1-800-295-2432. And the other one is to switch your long-distance telephone carrier over to our carrier, and you can find out about that by calling 520-333-4578 any Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pacific time. Hello, Gene.
Hello. Good afternoon, Bill.
How are you?
I'm doing good. Yourself?
I'm doing just fine. Okay, what's the situation with the metal report today?
Well, this afternoon, gold is at $320.30. Silver is at $4.34. Down a little bit from yesterday. In fact, silver was up as high as $4.50 and has come back down. Platinum is at $448.10. Folks, one of the things I want to just totally encourage you on is that while we have this opportunity right now with gold and silver prices extremely low, we're at 12-year lows on these coins. Gold hit a point, I think, earlier this afternoon at 318, rebounded back up and is at 320. I love it when it goes down because it makes it so I can buy it even cheaper for my own self, and same thing for you. Most people make the mistake of watching and waiting and letting the market get ahead of them, and then finally think, gosh, I better jump on the bandwagon, and then you're spending more than you need to, basically. So keep in mind, we're buying gold and silver right now at 12-year lows. It's an excellent, excellent opportunity. Stock market today ended up down about 11 points, 10.91. Been a lot of volatility in the market. If you watch it during the day, you'll see it up and down like a roller coaster. Again, if you haven't had a chance, get a couple articles out there, one from Money Magazine, the August issue of Money Magazine. Also, last, if you're able to, last week's issue of Time Magazine. If not, I'll make you a copy and send it to you, where it talks about the government is setting up contingency plans, and as well as the major brokerage houses are setting up contingency plans for a major stock market, they call it a correction, crash, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, part of their contingency plan is they're putting bars on all the windows on floors above the second floor.
Exactly. absolutely, because they don't want all these brokers jumping out of the windows. there are going to be an awful lot of sad campers out there, I think, in the next...
sad campers. RVs are going to disappear from the landscape as they're repossessed. Thousands per second.
Oh, absolutely. People have got themselves up to debt, you know, up to their eyeballs in debt and with everything, and money is going to be hard to come by unless you got some real money. You know, I don't know if people, if you've ever played chess, a real good chess player makes his moves 10 moves ahead. He's thinking 10 moves ahead. The guy that gets beat is always playing catch-up, trying to just survive the one move that the guy just made. And this economy and what's happening, and I believe in this system, has been perpetrated many, many years ago, decades ago, to get us to a point. And it's like playing chess. They've been planning years and years in advance to get this country to a point where eventually they can pull the plug and leave you holding nothing but worthless Federal Reserve notes and scampering around figuring out how you're going to buy groceries. And basically, it'll be checkmate. You're going to be a slave to somebody else that holds all the money.
Da-da-da-da-da. Enter the rescuer. Socialism will take care of you.
Exactly.
Let me ask you a question, Gene. Are you ready for this one?
I hope so.
how much money is represented just by mutual fund holdings alone right now?
I believe it's like $4 trillion.
Wow, you're right on top of it. That's the exact number, $4 trillion. According to the M1, how much money is in circulation today?
Well, you got me on that one.
Not $4 trillion, I'm afraid. Now, if just the holdings in mutual funds represents $4 trillion, how much do you think is represented by the common stock on the New York Stock Exchange and the American Stock Exchange?
Oh, gosh.
Well, you got to remember, a portion of it is the mutual fund.
That's true. The mutual funds are made up of all the individual stocks.
No, that's $4 trillion. In fact, mutual funds holdings are only about probably 15% of the stock market.
Okay, yeah.
So how much does that represent more?
A whole lot more.
Isn't this fun? Yeah, and how much do you think is represented by notes held by banks on mortgages, cars, furniture, and all that kind of stuff?
Well, they say our country is, you know, credit-wise, is like $20 trillion in debt, just in credit.
Okay, let me ask you something. If there's only a few billion dollars in notes actually in circulation, okay, and there's all these tens of trillions of dollars out there represented in value of stock, mutual funds, debt, notes, mortgages, and things like that. What do you think would happen if somebody even tried to pay off just a few of these things? Or if people went in and tried to sell their stock?
Well, there's going to be panic selling if that happens.
There's no money to give them up to beyond a certain point.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's going to be kind of like what happened when people were trying to take their $20 gold pieces or their $20 bills back in 33 and going into the bank and say, I want my $20 gold piece, and all of a sudden they found out there wasn't any gold in the banks anymore.
That's right. The money does not exist. People actually believe that when they go down and get a loan to buy a house, that the bank has the money there.
Oh.
And is actually depositing the real money in their account.
Oh, absolutely not. I went down one time to cash a paycheck. This was several years ago when I worked for another company. And I had like a $16,000 paycheck one week. You know, sold a lot of gold. And guess what? The bank did not have, this is a whole bank now, did not have $16,000 in their bank.
And that's not unusual at all.
You know, because I wanted to cash it. Yeah. You know, I didn't want to give it to them. And they couldn't do it. I had to, and they literally made me put part of it into a savings account, and then I had to come back several days later and take the rest of it out.
Yeah. That happened to me one time at a bank, and all I wanted was $3,000.
Yeah.
They did not have $3,000 in cash.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. It's just non-existent. All your banking is just entries in a ledger. All it is just pent up money that doesn't exist. It's just numbers that go back and forth from one bank to another, and the real money doesn't even exist. If everybody in the country said, okay, I'm going to take all my savings, all my stock, and let's get it all in cash, they'd be in trouble.
You better believe it.
Because they'd be closing the banks like they did in 1933.
Yeah.
You know, it's just non-existent.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we got a special for you. Now, this is a little bit different than what we've done before because I'm going to give you something for free.
This is going to be interesting, folks, because I don't know anything about it yet.
Yeah, it's a freebie here. What we're going to do, you can buy anything you want, whether it's numismatics, whether it's bullion, whether it's junk silver. You name what you want. I will give you our absolute rock bottom price on it. If it is an order of $1,000 or more, we will give you a MS64 Morgan Silver Dollar PCGS or NGC. It is an absolutely gorgeous coin. It has some, well, at one point the coins were worth $300. Now they're down a little bit from there. Understand that. But it has great investment potential. We will give you one free. Now this is only for the first 20 people. I don't have a whole lot of these, but I will give for the first 20 people that place orders of $1,000 or more on anything they want. It could be a quarter bag of junk silver, could be gold bullion, don't care. Whatever it is you want, we'll give you one of those for free.
Sounds like a good deal to me.
So, we'll try this out, see how it flies, throw it up the flagpole. Our number is 800-295-2432. 800-295-2432.
Now, does that mean that you no longer have any MS64 Morgan dollars for sale if you're going to give these away?
Oh, I can get them for sale. These are just ones that I have that I will give away and for the first 20 people. Now, if somebody wants to buy some, great, we'll sell them all that they want. But these are ones that I set aside to give away. Very nice. You'll be very pleased at what you see. This is not junk. This is some real nice.
And you still have the 40-90% silver dollars at $40?
Oh, yeah.
And how many rolls is 40 silver quarters? I'm sorry, folks. I said silver dollars. It's silver quarters.
That's a roll, one roll, or $10 face value for $40. Two rolls of silver eagles. Junk dimes. Two rolls of junk dimes for $40. We still have that one running.
And when you say junk, you don't really mean junk.
No, it's not junk dollars. It's the best stuff out there. 90% silver dimes is when we had real money.
It is real money, as a matter of fact.
Exactly. Real money in our currency. When our money meant something, and it was based on a just weights and measures system.
Well, you know, people should be able to understand this real well. The reason that 40-90% silver quarters, which are real money, cost $40 is because they're reflecting the real value of the intrinsic metal in the money.
Exactly.
And that's why it's real money. And that's why you can't sell 40 of the quarters that you have in your pocket now for hardly even what they say they're worth, because nobody wants them. They don't have any metal in them. They're phony. They're copper. If you want to get the true value of the quarters that you have in your pocket, go down to a junkyard and ask them the price of silver and then weigh your quarter. That'll tell you the true value of what of the phony, counterfeit, debased coinage that you're carrying in your pocket. That's right. And the only reason they plate them is so that you'll be fooled into thinking that it's real money, because, you know, our money is supposed to be silver coin.
Yeah, it looks like it kind of, somewhat, if you don't know the difference, but in actuality, it's nickel-plated copper coins.
That's right. And there really is no value to the nickel plating. The value exists, actually, in the amount of copper that's in the coin, and that's all it's worth. So go down to your local junk dealer or call them on the phone. Ask them what the price of copper is right now per pound or per quarter pound or whatever, and then weigh your silver, your phony quarter, and convert that into the real value of what you think you have in your pocket as money, and you'll find it's not even closely worth a nickel.
Exactly.
Much less a quarter.
Yeah.
In fact, it's probably worth a couple of cents, to tell you the truth.
You're talking just pennies as far as what the actual metal value, if at that. You're talking very, very, it could even be a fraction of a penny. There's not much in there, folks.
Yeah,
there's not much in there.
That's true.
Your paper money is even worth less. I mean,
how easy it is to fool people. You know what you're talking about before, about chess players? They think ahead, you know, 10 or 15 moves ahead.
Exactly.
And, well, the average person can't think past the next Budweiser.
Well, that's true. or past the first commercial.
Yeah.
On TV.
That's right.
And that's what they're counting on. They're counting on people just being lulled to sleep by what's around them, and when it happens, the vast majority of people will be caught totally unaware of what's going on. They'll think, gosh, I heard this from Bill Cooper, I heard this from Gene Miller, it is true.
Yeah.
Then it's too late. See, when you hear it, and it's happening all around you, and the bottom's falling out, guess what? It's too late.
It's like Stephen Jacobson says, unawares, unawares, unawares. I love it. Yeah, that's absolutely true. But, you know, even people who are aware of this and who know it and understand it won't even attempt to do anything about it, because they don't think that it means anything, and as long as they can still go down and buy a loaf of bread, they think everything is okay.
Well, yeah, but they don't realize grocery stores hold very little food when it comes down to as far as supply.
That's right.
I mean, within hours, your grocery store can be wiped out.
Well, they found that out in Los Angeles, didn't they?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it doesn't take long, folks. I mean, there's a whole lot more people that are going to want food than there is food available.
Anything else, Gene?
That's it. Act while it's cheap. And when you call and you're interested in this, just ask, tell them you're interested in the free Morgan silver dollar offer. Leave your name, your phone number, and we'll return the call and get you set up. And tell us what you want. We'll get the coins out to you.
I want it all.
That's it.
Thank you, Gene.
Have a good afternoon.
We'll see you later.
Bye.
You think we're preaching Armageddon, ladies and gentlemen? Not at all. Armageddon is for those who think the world is going to end. Nope, we're talking to those who want to survive. Armageddon is for those who are not prepared. The rest, those of us who prepare and are ready for whatever emergency comes along. The world's not going to end for us, ladies and gentlemen. We're not concerned about Armageddon. There will be no Armageddon for us. Let's see how many really smart people there are out there. What is Armageddon? Does anybody out there know? What is Armageddon all about? I'm going to take your call, 520-333-4578. What is Armageddon? I want to know. Educate me. Tell me what it's all about. What is this Armageddon that everybody's always talking about? I want to hear your viewpoint. I want to hear what you think about that. 520-333-4578. If you're well read in the Bible, if you are a real Christian, you should know the answer, and you should be able to tell me right off the bat just exactly what it is. Why is it? When's it going to happen? What's going to be the results of this so-called Armageddon? Anybody know? 520-333-4578 is the number. And, you know, I think I need a missing component here. So I'm going to put this music back on and go see if I can find it. Well, I guess I don't need it after all. The phone is ringing. I thought I needed the receiver on this hook here to make this thing work. But apparently I don't. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon, Bill. How are you today?
Fine. Can you answer the question?
No, but I just want to make a comment regarding the gentleman who just was on your program regarding the metal, because I had a particular incident having to do where the bank could not cash a check for $6,200. And I just want to say I'm going to be giving the gentleman a call to where I could purchase and also help you with your program.
Great, that's fantastic. You know, I forgot to tell you, every dollar you spend with Southwest International Trading helps fund the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. You see, we do it a different way here. Most people would charge Southwest International Trading, you know, $2,000-$3,000 just to advertise on this broadcast. Well, I don't do that because I don't think I should get something for nothing. What if not that many people call him?
That's correct. Well, I'm going to be making that step right now, and thank you for doing everything you're doing on out there, and we'll talk to you later, Bill.
Okay, you want to take a stab at Armageddon?
When it's going to happen?
Anything about it. What is it?
If you read the Bible once again, there's definitely going to be something happening. I do believe in God and Jesus Christ. I'm not a religious fanatic, but I do have to believe in a higher power. It's helped me through lots of problems within my life and also legal problems on how it magically appears and gets taken care of.
Well, anybody that doesn't believe in a higher power has never seen lightning strike, I can tell you that.
But at one time, I did not believe in a higher power until probably about 8 years ago. I finally got my act together and got my kids' act together. And
Children, please.
Yeah, children, that's correct. I'm sorry.
Kids are baby goats. We don't want to call our children baby goats.
And my son, he's doing wonderful. He's attending a good university here, and he's going to be making a difference for the movement.
Fantastic.
Thank you, Bill.
You're welcome. You notice, folks, that he called it the movement. Isn't it funny? It's something that was made up of the entire nation at one time is now a movement. And he's right. He's right. Socialism is so pervasive in this country that if you believe in freedom, then you're part of a movement. Everything is topsy-turvy. Backwards, upside down. Right is wrong. Wrong is right. All that kind of stuff. 520-333-4578 is the number. I want to hear, what is Armageddon? What is this Armageddon everybody's always talking about? And why is everybody sitting around waiting for it to happen? I know people who are just waiting for it to happen. That's their whole function in life. Well, I'm not going to get involved in anything in this world that doesn't concern me. I'm waiting for Armageddon and the tribulation, and then I'm going to be raptured. And, you know, you guys are going to be down here. And then there are other people that don't believe in the rapture but believe that they have to go through all of this stuff. And I'm not judging it right or wrong because, you know, what my religious viewpoint is. I just want to get a discussion started here, see what this is all about. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good evening, Mr. Cooper. This is Greg from Indiana.
Hi, Greg. How are you?
I'm just fine, sir. Armageddon, I don't know how the dictionary describes Armageddon, but my dictionary, I say my Bible, I don't know how my Bible defines Armageddon, but my dictionary calls it a scene of the final battle between the forces of good and evil, or a catastrophic confrontation.
Okay. At least we now have a definition from somewhere, don't we?
Well, I thought I'd start the ball rolling.
Okay, well, that's great. Somebody's got to always do that.
Okay.
Okay, the final confrontation between good and evil.
They're kind of going on every day inside of each one of us anyway.
Yeah, I think it's being fought moment by moment, second by second, in the hearts and minds of everybody everywhere. But if that's really what it is, a battle between good and evil, some people would disagree with that definition.
Well, I suppose it would depend on who the forces of good and evil are considered to be.
Yeah.
I think they're, all of those forces are inside each and every one of us all the time.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, I have a question about signing up for long distance through your network.
Sure.
Your advertised office hours are when I'm at work, so can I write Connie for information?
Oh, sure. Write her a letter, and she'll send you information, and she'll send you the form that you need to fill out. And if you decide not to do it, all we ask is that you send the unfilled-out form back to us because they cost money.
Okay.
And we're trying to fund the network, not waste money.
Okay. The recording that you played last night?
The recording that I played? Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Man, that guy, I don't know who that guy was who was being interviewed on that program.
That's Lawrence Myers, used to be a big reporter for Media Bypass magazine.
He had a very difficult time with reality. I've been listening to your program for quite a while, and I don't know where he gets his information from, but apparently he's making it up.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, this is it's just a blatant attack on those of us who are stirring the pot in making people think, because these New World Order socialist people don't want anybody to think. They don't want anybody to hear the truth. They don't want anybody stirred to go and start digging to find out what's really what. Because if they do, then they're going to wake up, and then the more people that wake up, the more dangerous it is for these socialists who are committing treason in this country.
I was astounded by the lies that I heard that guy speaking. I mean, to think that this...
Oh, it gets a lot worse. I was going to continue with it today, but why waste the audience's time on such absolute crap, really? So I changed my mind. I just don't want to waste all of your time. I wanted to give you a taste of it and let you know what's flying around out there and hitting the fan and bouncing back in people's faces.
Yeah, I'm surprised that the fellow whose radio program that guy was a guest on even, you know, maybe it's just being polite, but I would have had a hard time letting him go on without at least catching him on something.
Well, that was Pastor Pete Peters. Pastor Pete Peters is a flaming racist. He's a proponent of the Christian identity movement, which is really, really British Israelism. It is Zionism in its worst form. It is that the Jews really aren't Jews. The Jews are somebody else. They speak Hebrew and they can read Hebrew, and they have the religion preserved. But the real Jews are not them. The real Jews are the Anglo-Aryans, and they've lost their identity, and now they've got to reclaim it, and they're the true inheritors of the world. They're the true lineage of the house of David, and all this absolute, totally unfounded baloney.
Is that what the Christian identity movement is about? I don't really know anything about it.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's about.
Okay. God bless you, sir.
God bless you, too. Yeah, and they're dangerous. Very, very dangerous. There are people sitting around waiting for it to happen. And when it happens, you know, what's going to happen and what's going to be the outcome? And what does it mean, you know, for all of us? Is it really true? Is it a misinterpretation? Is it right on the money? I mean, do you even know? Now, I happen to know that a good percentage of this audience is Christian. And I happen to know that this has a basis in the Christian religion. And so you should all have some kind of an explanation, and you should be calling this number in order to discuss it. I'm not here to tell you you're wrong. I just want to know what it is that you think that it is, or what it is that you believe that it is, or what you think is factual or not factual about it. And where does it come from? Is it only found in the book of Revelations? Can you find reference to it somewhere else? Is the Christian religion and the Holy Bible the only source of the story of this great final battle? Can you find it in other religions? Is there reference to it in myth? Do the American Indians know about it? Hey, come on, guys. Get on the phone, 520-333-4578. If you don't call, I'm going to know something. I'm going to know that all you people who claim to be Christians and claim that you believe in all of this stuff aren't sure of yourself, or you'd be calling and talking about it. Isn't that true? Are there any ministers out there? This is your chance to get up on the pulpit and tell us what you know about Armageddon. Anybody at all? 520-333-4578. That's what I thought. See, the whole reason I did this, folks, is I knew that there would be a few brave souls who would call and venture some kind of an opinion. There always is, and that's good. Whether they're right or wrong is of no consequence. My whole point here is that most of the people who claim to believe in this stuff do not believe in it or know enough about it to even hold an intelligent conversation. And what brought this up? The accusation yesterday on the tape that you heard on the Pete Peters show with Lawrence Myers that we're all preaching Armageddon. So today, folks, you never heard the word Armageddon out of my mouth, did you? But I guarantee you, if somebody wanted to call and talk about it intelligently, I can do that. How many of you can? I can do it. I know what it is. I know what it's about. I know what it's not about. I know what it says about it in the original Hebrew and Greek. And I know what the different translations have interpreted it to mean. And some of them are pretty close to right on with the original Hebrew and Greek. Some of them are so far off base, it's pathetic. It's also not going to result in the end of the world, folks. It's not going to happen. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hi. It's Rita.
Hi, Rita. How are you?
Hi. I'm doing real good. I just guess I'm going to tell you what I think, which is probably a lot different than a lot of people think, is I think it's something that already happened.
Okay, tell us about it.
I just think that it happened. It was talking about the first generation after Jesus was here when he said, many are standing here this day that will see me in my kingdom.
You mean there's somebody out there that really read what he said instead of listening to what somebody said he said? You mean you really did listen or read what Jesus said in the Bible?
Yeah.
Well, that's amazing. You're probably one of only 10 people in the world who ever did that.
Well, I thought there was, if he said that, he's never wrong. So if he said they were standing there and they had to be there, then they were there. And I read a lot of research books about it that talked about the destruction of Jerusalem. They said was so devastating that a fallen tree could be dragged between two horses, and there wasn't enough left standing to even catch against the tree.
Yeah,
there was just nothing left, and
the carnage was absolutely unbelievable.
It was horrendous, and people were buried alive in tunnels under the city. And I think a lot of people misunderstand that and think it's coming when it already happened.
Yeah. Do you think that Jesus is in his kingdom, according to his own teachings?
Yeah, that's what I think. I think when he spoke that, he meant the church of the Christians today that believe in him, that was the new covenant, because then he would dwell inside of people. So that was the new kingdom.
Wow.
Better than the one before, because then we could really know him and work better, because he could be in many places at one time.
You know, who did he say Israel is?
I don't know about that. Oh, the people, the race. I think that when he was teaching Israel to know him was because people had been apart from him for so long, they didn't know him anymore. They didn't know how deep was his love. They didn't understand his caring. And I think the reason he chose that people to work with him was to educate them to know him.
Well, Israel is his kingdom, right?
Right.
And didn't he say, whosoever shall believeth in me?
Right.
That's correct. But all these other people say that you have to be of a certain race.
A certain race.
You have to be of a certain race to be Israel and to be in the kingdom. And that if you're not, you're not going to be there.
I think the lesson that he tried to teach us was when the disciples were learning about that was to call nothing I've created unclean. This was going to be opened up to all people everywhere because everyone he made.
That's exactly correct. Boy, that's so nice to talk to somebody with a brain who can read and read what is said and not try to make it say something that it doesn't.
Well, when you really love him and you really learn, there's so much reward in understanding. It's worth the effort to read it and understand.
Yeah, some other people claim that if you don't belong to their church, you're not of Israel, and you won't be in the kingdom that's coming, and Jesus certainly, you know, you won't be with Jesus.
And I think his church is those who love him and those who know him, and it's not a building. It's a living church. It's a people, and you don't have to have a membership there.
That's right.
I mean, other than his name. I mean, if you're his, he says his sheep know the sound of his voice, so we do.
What did he say about his church? Wherever two or more gather in my name, there shall I be also.
That's right. That's all that's needed.
That's his church.
Yep.
And who is it? Doesn't have to be a race. Doesn't have to be a member of any of these churches that say you have to be a member of that church. You don't have to believe in all of their baloney.
No.
You don't have to put money in their plate. Whosoever shall believeth in me.
There's a verse that says they worship me in vain because their rules are rules made by men.
That's right.
So that's important to realize if they have a creed or a doctrine where they've written things out, then they're in error there. They shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah. And in the Bible, whether you believe that Armageddon is coming or that it has already happened, it's not the end of the world.
And it's not going to mean you're getting into heaven or you're not getting into heaven. If you don't understand, maybe you just need to keep studying.
That's right. Absolutely. In the original Greek and Hebrew, the word is, in fact, in the Greek, it's aeon. I forget the word in Hebrew, but it's the same word, basically. And what it means is the end of the age, not the end of the world.
Right.
And if people would really read their Bible, they would understand that how could it be the end of the world when that is going to be the beginning of Christ's reign in a new Jerusalem on earth? For 1,000 years. And then after that 1,000 years, it's not going to be the end of the world because the devil is going to be let loose for a time more.
There's so much
after that.
You got to study and understand the symbolism with a lot of that too.
Maybe we should open our own church, Aretha, and teach people what Jesus really said and not what all these people want him to have said.
Right. Yeah. There's just a lot of misunderstanding, but anyone that knows the way he loves people, there can't be any exclusion of races or anything. It's just ludicrous because he made everybody here.
Yeah. He also said, judge not lest ye be judged.
Right.
Isn't that correct?
That's
and all these people who call themselves Christians running around judging everybody. I even heard people who call themselves Christians refer to the Branch Davidians as just a bunch of religious fanatics. They deserved what they got. Can you believe that?
That's terrifying.
It is absolutely terrifying.
I know what you're saying there, because I've heard Christians that say they're Christians say that too, and it's really upsetting.
Yes. Okay. Well, gee, you know, this you made my day, Rita. You made my day.
Well, it was sure nice talking to you.
It was nice talking to you, too. Thank you for calling.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Well, I guess that pretty much does that. Does anybody out there have any conflicting ideas? You know, if you want to call up and tell us what your idea is, we'll politely listen. And who knows? You might be right. It might be food for thought. Maybe I'm wrong. How about that? You know, I can be wrong. I have been wrong on many occasions. And if I have been proven wrong to my satisfaction, I have come on the air and said so. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill. This is Randy out of South Carolina.
Hi, Randy.
How you doing today?
Pretty good.
Talking about Armageddon, my belief on Armageddon is that it's going to be the battle between the angels in heaven and Satan's angels at the end of time. But also, as far as Revelation is concerned, I believe that the book of Revelations is a warning to all of us that if we don't live our lives the way that God wants us to, then he'll end this world. What do you think about that?
Well, it's certainly possible. You know, you know, there's people out there who believe that it was all decided in the beginning, and it doesn't matter what you do. It's already been decided how your life is going to be and how it's going to end and whether you're going to be good or bad and what, you know, what's going to happen in the world and all of these things. And I think if that's true, then this is all just a big joke. And I wouldn't want to be a part of that religion or that God if that were true.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've all been put here to make a choice to be bad or good, to make good things happen or bad things happen. And,
right.
and if that's the truth, then it all makes sense, and I can go along with that.
We all have to answer to God when it's all over with. That's the main thing. And like I say, I feel like the book of Revelation is a warning to us that...
Have you ever studied the mysteries?
No, not in depth, just other than what I've heard you talk about on the air.
In the Eleusinian and the Dionysian mysteries and the Egyptian mysteries... If you study the initiation of the profane into the secret societies, and you compare that initiation and the metaphors that accompany it with the Book of Revelations, they're very, very similar.
I have to look into that. Where could I find that information?
Oh, my God. Well, one place to start is in the works of Manly P. Hall. And just go to any good library and go through the card catalog for Hall, Manly P., as the author, and just start reading what he wrote. He's one of the most prolific writers, and he wrote a lot about the ancient mysteries and their initiations. There are many other sources, but that'll get you started.
Mm-hmm. I've noticed in the Masonic, A Human Reason, one of the authors of the A Human Reason is one of the authors that you spoke about in your mystery series here a while back.
Yes.
I can't remember his name right now. But I've seen the front of that, and I've seen this guy's name, and I said, man, this is the guy Cooper was talking about.
Read the book.
Yeah. And, you know, in that Human Reason, it speaks of God, but it never mentions Jesus.
No, because they don't believe in Jesus.
That's right.
A Freemason will tell you that it's a Christian organization if he lives in a Christian neighborhood or a Christian city.
Right.
And that's because they don't want you to know the truth about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's against the rules of the lodge to even mention the word Jesus inside the lodge. They say that they believe in a God, but the God that they believe in is the intellect. They believe that man is God.
Right. And I've also noticed, too, you know, somebody says that they're a Mason. You see them with a Masonic sticker on their vehicle.
Uh-huh.
And they'll tell you right up front, you know, hey, if you're a Mason, you got one of these stickers, you stop by Highway Patrol and it's a Mason, you know, they're going to give you a warning and let you go.
That's right.
So they've got a tight brotherhood there.
Yes, they do, and they do an awful lot of it is unlawful, unfair, unethical, immoral, etc.
Oh, yeah, it is. You see a lot of that in the community around here, you know, with police officers and people in the community and such.
Uh-huh. Well, you watch closely, and you'll see the little handshakes they give and their little signs and signals and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, acting on the square.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Phrases.
Yep.
That's something else.
When I raise my,
I'm gonna get off here and let somebody else get on. And
okay.
Listen to you every day and look forward to hearing you from now.
Okay.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. What do you think about all this? What do you think the Battle of Armageddon is? What do you think the result of it's going to be? Will it affect you? Do you even maybe you don't even believe in it at all? Period. Maybe you don't understand it, you know, maybe you understand it really well. Whatever, give me a call. Talk about it. Tell me what you think. Just get it all. Let it all hang out, guys. Let's hear what it's all about. You know, it's really, I love to go and listen to different preachers, and sometimes just on Sunday morning, I'll turn on the television set and listen to some of these evangelists. And I love it when they take something that Jesus Christ is written to have said in the Bible. And, you know, all the words in red are purported to be Jesus' actual words, even though scholars say that those portions of the Bible weren't written until long after he was dead. And so, you know, it depends upon what you believe about the Bible, whether those are his actual words or what people remembered or whether they're the inspired word of God to put down what he said when people couldn't remember. And people have all different variations on this theme when you talk to them about the Bible and what it represents. I like to hear them quote the words in red in the Bible and then listen to them interpret it to fit whatever agenda they are promoting, or dogma, or religion, and there's lots of agendas that are promoted this way, folks. And then, you know, read it in the Bible in context with the other things that he said. And 9 times out of 10, he didn't say what they said at all, didn't mean what they're interpreting it to mean at all, and couldn't possibly. You know, if you really believe that if you're a Christian, you really believe that Jesus spoke and didn't mean what he said, then you couldn't possibly believe that he is who you think he is, because he would have made himself very clear, wouldn't he? I seem to believe, or have become to believe over the years, that people usually mean exactly what they say when they write something, like the Founding Fathers, when they wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. I think they meant exactly what they said. And I think they used the exact meanings of the words that they wanted to put in there to mean what they wanted it to mean when they wrote it, according to the dictionary and the meaning of those words in their day. And I don't think it needs interpretation at all. I think interpretation is just a way of skewing something to fit another agenda when originally it wouldn't fit that agenda. And so somebody's got to come along and interpret it. Am I right? Am I wrong? What do you think about that? Or do you think about it at all? 520-333-4578. That's the number. You know, I was going to tell you about our long-distance phone service when the phone started ringing, and I knew that was Gene, so I didn't get too much into it. But if you want to help the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network continue to expand its programming and bring you, you know, some good broadcasts, that's what we're looking for. If you know somebody who's always wanted to broadcast and has never had the opportunity, have them call us at the same phone number, 520-333-4578, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pacific time. It's also Mountain Standard Time. See, we never go on daylight savings time. But anyway, we have a deal, folks. We've made a deal with a long-distance telephone carrier to help fund this Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. And the way this works is you just switch your long-distance carrier, and we got two really good plans. One's 10 cents a minute, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year, with only $1 a month service charge. The other is 9 cents a minute between 7 p.m. and 7 a.m., if you don't mind calling between those times, and it's 6 cents, it's 9 cents per minute with 6-second billing. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hello. This is Chuck from Atlanta.
Hi, Chuck. How are you?
Yeah, I got my roof down with you. I got the dish on.
How's the weather down there?
Oh, it's beautiful here. Not too hot. It's all right. I got the King James Bible, Armageddon. The Plain of Megiddo near Samaria. The scene of a violent battle. Or battles described in the Old Testament, although Armageddon itself is not mentioned. So in other words, it's the name of a place.
That's correct. Is Armageddon mentioned in the New Testament?
It said it is in the encyclopedia in the back of the King James. It says it's not. But it says it's referred to in Revelation 16:16.
Okay. But the word Armageddon is not used.
Well, I ain't really read the whole first sentence. Well,
that's okay. I'm not trying to put you to shame or anything. I just wondered if you knew.
No. From what it says here, it is not. Okay. And that's actually in the back section of the book, so...
Is there any way you can turn down your radio or turn it off?
Yeah, hold on a second. Sorry about that.
Whenever you call folks a radio station, a call-in show, always turn your radio off. Or be prepared to turn it off the minute somebody answers, because it just plays havoc with the feedback. Are you there?
Yes. I've been looking through everything. The 1828 Webster's. I've been looking up on everything I got. Bible Concordance.
You have an 1828 Webster's?
It wasn't even in there.
Yeah, but you have an 1828 Webster's, right?
Yes.
Good for you. Good for you.
And even in the Bible Concordance, it just refers to Revelation 16:16.
Okay.
It's in Strong's Bible Concordance.
All right.
So the best that I've got flipping four or five dictionaries up is the King James Bible.
Okay.
So anybody else is out there trying to find it? See, that's what I couldn't believe nobody else was calling it. I've been flipping all kinds of dictionaries over.
Well, with the vast number of Christians or people who claim to be Christians in this audience, I was, but you know, I expected it, because the truth is, I know a lot of people who tell me they've read the Bible, but I know through talking to them that they haven't read the Bible. It just seems to be a thing that people have to say they've read it when they really haven't. Or maybe they've just read portions. I also know some people who've read the Bible 2, 3, 4 times and pretty much know what they're talking about. But, you know, I found that most people who call themselves Christians are Christians because their parents were. They go to church. They really don't know anything about Christianity or why they're a Christian or why they actually go to that church. They've never really thought about it until you start hitting them with some very penetrating questions. And the only thing that they know is what they remember from the teachings of whatever minister was standing in the pulpit most of their life. And so I know that a lot of people can't answer these questions. And the reason I do this, especially when people throw it out like they did yesterday, Pete Peters and Lawrence Myers bandying that term about like you're crazy if you mention the word Armageddon, which they accused me of doing, and I'd never done it. I thought, well, if they're going to accuse me of talking about Armageddon, let's talk about it, you know? Let's find out what it is.
Yeah, what gets me is like when I moved from the north to the south, went to certain churches, churches, and they told me I did everything wrong up north. And I said, well, boy, in other words, if I would have lived up there for all these years, died at the age of 87, I wouldn't have gone to heaven because I did something different than what you do at your church.
Oh, you'd be roasting, wouldn't you?
And that woke me up real big, saying, wait a minute.
Do you believe that if you die and you're a bad person, that you're going to go to hell and it's a place of fire and burning and all that kind of stuff?
No, because that's what I mean. That's what really woke me up. In other words, just because I didn't go to your church, I'm not going to heaven.
Yeah.
All I do the best thing when you stand there and somebody does something morally, what should you do? When you're thinking to yourself, is that what I should properly be doing? So when I answer at the end, what really is going to happen to me? And that doesn't matter what church you go to. That's inside you that makes that decision.
That's right. You got it. At least I believe that way. Also, did you know that there was no concept of a devil with horns and a pointy tail and a place called hell with burning fire until Dante wrote his Dante's Inferno? He wrote the Inferno?
No, it
all came from Dante. Every bit of it. And people think it comes from the Bible. There's no place in the Bible where it says that that's the way it's going to be. You know what they believe in the mysteries? They believe that your soul is dead on this earth, buried in the material world, and your body is the coffin. And then when you die here on this earth, there's a rebirth of the soul. Well, if you, hell actually, I don't know where the word hell comes from, but the term used in the Bible is Hades, really. And you know what Hades is?
Yeah, well, I've heard a lot of people say, actually, it says that right in there, the Hebrew word for the place.
Yeah.
It's Sheol, and the Greek word is Hades.
That's right. And you know what it is? It was a canyon outside of Jerusalem, where the lepers lived and where they threw the dead bodies and the trash and the refuse from the city. And there were fires burning there all the time to burn this trash and this refuse and this stuff.
Yeah,
it was a big junkyard. It was a big trash place.
The grave. In other words, where they put everything after they were done with it, I guess.
Yep, you got it. Isn't it amazing? People all their lives claim that they've read the Bible and they know what all of this stuff is, and they really don't. And that's a shame. I'm not trying to make people feel dumb or anything else. I'm just trying to, get them realigned. Get back on the right track, please.
I realized what was going on and start buying dictionaries, and when somebody says something, you can start looking something up. It's amazing how people really have no clue. You know,
yeah.
And people, you're supposed to try to say something, and that word has nothing to even do with what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Or at least what they're trying to perceive it to talk about it. You know, it has a totally different meaning. When you look this stuff up, you just sit there and shake your head. Who's in charge of this place, you know?
And that's one of the ways they fool us in the law, isn't it?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah, everything I've looked up, that was about the first thing I got was the Black Law. You look up in there, and it's just amazing. There's nothing that we do even come close to being the truth in law.
Yeah.
So.
Well, this has been a nice call.
Yeah, so I guess we're getting closer to the end here.
Pretty close, yeah, about a minute left.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
All right. Well,
And keep that dictionary with you. I'm glad you've got an eight.
I got them all laying right. I sit here, and usually I'm not up right now. Usually I sleep, and it takes off the dish, and then later on I listen to it, and I just sit there flipping through everything. Biggest thing I've been doing for 3 years is checking you.
And what'd you find out?
Ain't missing a trick.
Well, good.
That's a trick.
That's what I want you to do.
And my father's been hollering for 68 years. Something wrong. And he always knew. And it's just amazing when you start looking the stuff up. Because he usually gets people on stuff. You know, if you take him down or he loses money, he's going after you, you know. and you do look the stuff up. I stopped that a long time ago.
Uh-huh.
And whenever you look the stuff up and just find out it's really right in front of you.
So you've been listening to me, and whatever I say, you've been running around and checking the documentation and stuff to see if I've been...
Oh, yeah. That's about all I've been doing. The other guys at work...
exactly what I tell you. Most people don't do it, though.
Don't trust me.
They do like everybody else they do with. They trust me to be telling them the truth, and I could be telling them the biggest lies in the world, just like Herr Clinton up there in the White House.
When you played yesterday, the other guy talking. Well, the other guy talking, if you check him, you know he's wrong. I've been listening to you for 3 years.
Yeah.
That was amazing how he even said that, and people would even attempt to believe it.
Well, you'd be surprised how many fools there are out there that will believe anything that they hear, especially if it fits their preconceived idea of what things are supposed to be. I got to run.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Later.
That's it, folks. Good night. God bless each and every single one of you. This is the Voice of Freedom. You're listening to the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. Stay tuned now for All Oldies Most of the Time. Classic radio, like you always wished it could be. Only the very best of the very best music of generations gone by. Be sure and tune in at 6 Pacific,